Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
I'm DM.
And we're joined for this very special Christmas spooktacular by...
I'm Uta. I heard you've been talking about German chocolates, and I would like to talk about my marzipan joy joy.
Are you from chocolate? Should we not chase you?
Hi, this is Rob Rector.
Okay. Oh my god. Yeah, we have two more Christmas movies to talk about in our, you know, annual Christmas special.
So, one chocolate based.
Yeah.
So I say, let's get right into it after a bunch of random crap, obviously.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm not a fool. So first off, I want to recommend a video game. It is called Greek Memories of Azure. That's a weird title, G-R-E-A-K. But it is one of those Metroidvania type games where there's a great big open world for you to explore, do platforming, and fight monsters in. And it's just unusually cute and well designed, like some truly gorgeous hand-drawn art throughout the game. They've done, obviously the high bar for this kind of thing is the Ori games and the Blind Forest. And this isn't quite on that level for attractiveness, but it is just... an unbelievably good-looking Metroidvania. Lots of game mechanics, lots of different kinds of biomes, just great variety, a game I wholeheartedly recommend. Greek Memories of Azure.
Nice.
All right, next up, somebody watched a TV show?
Somebody is watching a TV show, and she will finish it later today.
Ooh, what is it?
That brings me joy right now.
Knowing you have more of this to get through.
Only Murders in the Building.
Oh, I just watched all of that.
Oh, yay. My God. I
so
am
delightful.
Loving it.
Yeah. Isn't it so wonderful?
It is.
So great.
It's so, so great. Smart. It's so cute. So it's so funny. Like,
yes.
Oh, they're all so good in it, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
And honestly, I never would have in a million years, like, matched up the three of them. I mean, I knew that Steve Martin and
our best friends and hang out all the time. Yeah.
Right. But man, they are so good together.
They really are. Their chemistry is fantastic.
Really is.
Yeah. Oh. Everybody's good on that show, though.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm loving it because, of course, you know, white girl, I love murder podcasts and they do. Just such a good job, like, turning the murder podcast into a TV show. And then, like, just the title cards are hilarious. And then all the, like, ridiculous voiceover that's, like, really arch and doesn't mean anything. That's all great.
Oh, my God. I love Tina Fey's cameo so much.
Oh, my God. She's great.
She was so funny.
And from what I understand, the title cards... They apparently give away clues to that episode during it. You know, when they scan the building in the animated.
I didn't notice that.
I thought something was up, but I never really took the time to like study it.
Sure. I'm sure that's probably the majority of viewers, and that's why they kind of did it. Is like, okay, you want to skip us? Well, guess what? You're gonna miss out.
Nice. Love it. Yep. Yeah. No. Only really good. Can't wait for season two. Just whatever they're doing next, I am so completely on board for it.
So good.
Yeah,
so
really good show. All right. Next up, I believe somebody watched a movie.
I did. I saw several, but the one I will speak of is the remake of West Side Story.
Steven
Spielberg. So it was this has been a lifelong vision that Spielberg had, and it was really refreshing to kind of see him bring this to life because it had a very old school charm, but yet his kind of stylistic flair to the proceedings. And, you know, even though Ansel Elgort, I don't know if he's been canceled by the time this podcast makes it to air, I know there's rumblings, but he didn't really feel street enough to be hanging out with the Jets and the Sharks.
Yeah.
But he was fine. He was fine. He was serviceable. And he made some changes in it and it was more where the songs were introduced, in the narrative of the story. And like, for example, they had Rita Moreno, who was Maria in the original, now plays this new character.
She was not Maria in the original.
Right. Right.
No, no,
she was not.
No. Maria's, what's her name? Oh, God, how am I blanking on her name? You know, famously died falling off a boat.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's a supporting character in the original. Yes. And now
the new character has been created for her.
Oh, wow.
She took Maria's song Somewhere, which is like, you know, it is like the most like the penultimate song. It's the one that's supposed to bring this. Anyway, it was kind of crucial to the thread, and having her sing it as that character took the wind out of the sail to that song a little bit. And you know, it had its faults, but by and large, I was really entertained, and I kind of feel like the same way with Last Duel, by Ridley Scott. I think this is probably going to be one of the last few times that we're going to be able to see these kind of artistic visions on the big screen from these filmmakers. The way that film is heading, I'm afraid a lot of these are just going to end up on VOD and, you know, it's just, they're not going to waste the budgets. I hate to say waste, but they're not going to, you know, spend the budgets on theatrical versions of these. And it was very theatrical, but not great, but good.
Okay. Well, on the one upside, everybody's got 70-inch televisions now, so that does help.
It does help, but
it's not the same as a theater full of people, I know.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
I have never seen West Side Story. I don't have any interest in seeing West Side Story.
Yeah.
But I wonder if was this strictly necessary. Like I know like when the musical is set, I know enough about it, but I wonder if was there a little bit of a missed opportunity there to not have it in modern dress?
Yeah, I think so. I think because it was so reminiscent of the earlier one that you kind of looked at where they veered off, you know, where he swerved left, where it usually turned right, that I think by setting it stylistically, I get it from a narrative perspective why you want to, because we obviously have many more issues that we're handling right now.
Yeah.
And that way it's not quite as – you don't have to get as complicated as it is today with race relations, you know, that it was when race relations were simpler, I guess.
They really weren't.
Simpler.
They definitely weren't simpler.
No,
but there were less factions in America.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I didn't. So, I think by doing that, it kind of helped and hindered it. You know,
right?
If that makes sense.
It does, because it's interesting because it's one of those stories that it's like started out being set in the present day,
yeah,
and now has become a period piece,
right?
Yeah. Because the whole point of West Side Story is it's like let's do Romeo and Juliet, but in the modern day. And now it's like, okay, let's do someone's redo of Romeo and Juliet from the 50s, but in the modern day. So there's
but
this
set
extra.
It in the 50s.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. For today, but we're going to set it in the 50s. And it's like, okay, so now you're two layers away from the story you're telling.
Exactly. So yes, I do think I would have loved to have seen, like, you know, how Baz Luhrmann did with Romeo and Juliet. I would have loved to have seen him kind of take
Spielberg
it.
Spielberg do the same thing.
Yeah. And really just Spielberg it up. But, you know,
at least a spectacle, if nothing
very
else.
Very much so. Yeah.
Okay. So you got that going for you. All right. So now I think we all know what's next. It's time to fill yourselves with dread.
Ugh. Yes. And coal in the stock.
No editorializing.
No. I'm just giving you the question. In which decade does it take place?
It takes place at like two different times.
Okay, but the first one doesn't have any flash forwards.
When they were kids?
Yeah, the movie It only takes place in one time period. It's the second one that's full of flashbacks. There's no present day stuff in the movie It, 2017.
So,
decade was the movie 2017 movie It set in?
80s?
The 80s?
It is the 80s!
Yay. All right. Two points.
All right. American Outpost in the Thing is located on what continent?
Wait, what was it again?
The Outpost in the Thing.
Antarctica.
There you go.
2 point. Another 2 points.
Nice.
4 points.
What is the amount of money that Marion Crane steals at the start of Psycho?
Ah, shoot.
$10,000.
I thought it was more like 30.
What if you added those two numbers together?
$40,000.
Oh my God! You guys got it.
Yes. See, combined, so we'll just take 1 point for that one.
Okay, 1 point for that one. In The Conjuring 2, what is the name of the demonic nun who Lorraine battles in the film?
Oh, I've not seen this.
Agnes?
I haven't seen any of these.
It'd be great if it was Agnes. I would love it if it had been Agnes. It's Valak.
Valak.
I know. Oh. Who is the only actor to appear in both Pirates of the Caribbean and Nightmare on Elm Street?
Billy?
Johnny
really?
Depp.
Johnny Depp. Yeah.
Oh, shit. It was right there. Yeah.
In The Wailing, which family member of the protagonist becomes infected by the supernatural affliction?
Oh shit. I saw this 2 years ago.
Uncle?
God, I was going to say the grandmother.
All right. The answer is it was his daughter.
Daughter.
Okay. Remember at the end of the movie where she tells him, you know, don't rush in, try to save your daughter and you'll be fine.
Yes.
And he does it anyway. And well, we all know what happens.
So love that movie.
It's such a good movie.
So love that movie.
I don't even care that it's full of anti-Japanese racism. I love that movie.
I was about to say, what a movie about race relations.
I know, right?
This is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
A movie about how you're right to distrust the Japanese.
Yeah.
I still loved it, though.
Just a beautiful movie.
It's such a good movie. All right, so you guys did fantastically well. You got 7 out of 6, so there you go.
Woohoo!
I'm liking the new math.
The new math system is actually helping a lot. All right, I believe we have a list.
We do have a list. So, as I guess we started this last week, it's Christmas lists, or sorry, Christmas horror movies from...
Unexpected sources.
Unexpected sources, right. So this week's list of, what is it called? Best Christmas Movies 2021, 10 of the Best Scary Festa Films You Should Watch in December, comes to us from The Scotsman.
I don't know what that is.
It's a magazine
about... Take a stab that it's in Scotland?
Scotland.
Probably. All right.
So,
what have they got?
All right, so we begin with number one. I don't know if we're counting up or down or just counting to 10.
Okay.
So the first on the list is Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Of course.
The original. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's sleazy and it's creepy, but I do genuinely like this movie because it's very pure 80s horror.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, after that we have Krampus.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this last time. Krampus is a very good movie. Yep.
Solid. Yeah.
Okay, next on the list we have Wind Chill. I don't think we've seen this.
I don't. The name is not jumping out at me. What is it?
I have talked about this movie in the past. It stars Emily Blunt.
Oh right, yeah, we have talked about it.
Take a shortcut through snowy terrain, ends badly. People, I guess, get frozen to death. I'm not sure.
Yes. It has The Office, Jim. Martin Donovan.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It just says Emily Blunt on here.
Okay.
Yeah, Martin Donovan is in it as well, too.
Okay. Yep. I have not seen this film, so I cannot weigh in at all.
Or not Jim from The Office. Never mind.
But I know who Martin Donovan
is who. Yes. Yeah. He's great.
Okay, next we have Rare Exports.
Oh, that's a charming movie.
Yep.
Love that.
Good movie. Yeah.
Really good. Killer Santas getting locked in a cage. What more do you want?
Very funny.
It is. It really is a funny movie.
It is.
All right.
Okay, next up, Gremlins.
Aww.
Yep.
Not a lot of movies better than Gremlins.
It's a Christmas movie. But
it's true.
It is.
But it's like, the Mogwai is literally a Christmas gift for his son, Billy.
And that town looks like a snow globe.
It really does.
It really does, yeah. Okay, after that we have Dead End.
Dead End?
Yeah.
Which one is Dead End?
It is. This is the one you always forget about.
Yes, I know.
Takes a Shortcut.
Lynn Shay is in this.
Right, and Ray Wiseman. Okay.
Ray Wiseman is in it.
Yep.
Okay, I do remember. All right. Yep. Next up.
Okay, next we have the 2019 version of Black Christmas.
Oh.
Which was so bad.
That wasn't great. That was muddled beyond belief.
Yeah.
Like, again, any movie where Jordan Peterson's the bad guy, you know, I at least will give that point to. But This one is real not great.
Yeah.
Isn't it nice that in the same year we got both two movies where Jordan Peterson was the villain?
What was the other one?
The Craft. Legacy? The Craft 2.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So
yeah.
bad.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Garbage.
It really is.
Okay, we got two more to go.
Okay.
Number 9. Okay, it even says here this isn't a Christmas movie. They're just moving on to movies set in the wintertime.
Oh.
And so number 9 is Dead Snow.
Oh, okay. I like Dead Snow, but it's like,
is that the zombie one?
Yeah.
It's the zombie one, but Dead Snow 2 is so much better.
No, totally.
It is hilarious. I did not enjoy Dead Snow, but I love the second one.
Yeah. It is the better one of the two.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
All right.
Okay. Finally, can you guess what number 10 is?
Ooh. Given how, you know, they've been redoing stuff over and over again, I'm going to say the other remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Right? The 2012 version?
Yeah, with Donald Logue and Jamie Presley.
You are way off. Way off.
All right.
Number 10 is
Black Christmas.
Jack Frost.
Jack Frost. Okay.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's not very good. Nope. Not very good at all. But again, I know I say this every time, but it's worth mentioning. The sequel's hilarious. Like, it's really hilarious.
Yeah, the sequel is great.
And did we find out they were making, like, plushies of those baby snowballs or not?
No, I don't think so. I just really wanted one.
You really wanted one, that
they
was
They were
it.
So cute.
They were so desperately cute. I loved those little things.
Evil baby snowball.
Oh, right. They were so cute. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, a lot of familiar names on that list, which is a bit of a disappointment. But yeah, but they did have some legit good titles on that list. Like, they don't have terrible taste over at The Scotsman.
The Scotsman.
The Scotsman.
News you can trust since 1817.
Oh, wow. Seriously? Oh my God. I feel bad about making fun of them now. The 200-year-old newspaper. And apparently they know from horror movies. Okay. All right. Oh, Christmas horror movies. Every year I look forward to the new ones, which makes me wonder, are they still going to keep making them?
I have to assume so, but I don't know for sure, because this week's upcoming horror movie is called Stoker Hills.
Ooh. It's about a vampire. Nice.
It is not about a vampire.
Why would you call it Stoker Hills then?
Right? Well, maybe it's a vampire. I don't know.
You're leaving money on the table if this movie isn't that about a vampire.
In
I'm just saying.
In the secluded town of Stoker Hills, three college students find themselves in their worst nightmare when they set out to film a horror movie and are kidnapped by a serial killer. Their only hope for survival is the camera they left behind and the two detectives looking for clues in the footage.
So it's found footage?
Kind of. I've watched the trailer. It is their found footage elements parts to it, I guess, but it's mostly like third person.
Oh, okay.
Omniscient. Yeah. Storytelling. Tony Todd is in it.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
Yep.
And I can't tell if it's just a really poorly put together trailer or if the film really is going to look that bad.
Oh no.
What's wrong with it? It's like, it's so frenetic, really dark. It's just hard to see what's happening.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Oh.
Disappointed to hear it because, you know, Tony Todd. He's the king. Yeah. He deserves the best things and only the best things.
Yep. But sometimes he just shows up.
Oh, yeah.
Like in that movie where he was just sort of there to, like, worry someone and that was it.
Yeah.
Or throw a girl down a well. I'm not entirely sure what was going on there.
Remember that movie where, it was one of those movies where they all died in a car accident at the start. And then, you know, the rest of the movie is set at a haunted carnival. But really, they've all been dead the whole time. It was one of those. And, like, obviously, they realized they needed a celebrity to be able to sell this movie. And they realized it later on. So they went back and they're like, Tony Todd, will you appear in one scene that has nothing to do with the rest of this movie? And he's like, sure. You know, as long as this money spends, I'm there. And right? I guess it absolutely did. I think he was in a train museum.
No, that's a different movie.
Oh, that was a different movie. Okay.
Yes, the one at the train museum, he just tells them a story about trains. Yes. This is some other movie where I think he's at the beginning and the end, and he's like talking to a girl that has, I think he is kidnapped, or he is disposing of before the kidnapper. It's not right, entirely clear what the relationship
right, is. Okay, I remember it now. Yeah, okay.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, but wow. Even Tony Todd needs a paycheck every now and then, so
I mean, man's got to eat. So.
Absolutely. No, no, we yeah. do not begrudge Tony Todd.
No, he is at least certainly a little bit more discerning than, say, Bruce Willis, who I've actually watched, like, I don't know, maybe four of the films that he's released in 2021.
One of them. It was real bad.
Well,
yeah, we watched that one where he's on a spaceship. And he's the head janitor on a spaceship. Well, no, but he was the head janitor on a spaceship is the plot of the movie.
But here's the thing. His late career, I think he bases his decisions on two choices. One, if the various scenes that he's in, he can be sitting down.
Yep.
And second, if he has a nice scarf that he can wear. And I say that unironically. What? He, if you go back and look at a few of these.
Is he self-conscious about his neck?
I don't know, but he always wears, and these, I don't know if he knows somebody who's like a designer who's like, yeah, I got to wear this scarf so I can help promote these or whatever.
Oh my God. One of his daughters is definitely a scarf designer. He's got like eight daughters. One of them has to be a scarf designer. Like,
of the three films I've watched, no, four films I've watched of his, at least three of them, he is wearing for no reason whatsoever this like, I don't know, this like Pakistani style scarf. It's real exotic looking. And
really?
I mean, yeah, it's really bizarre.
I have got to start looking for this now.
Really bizarre.
Like, I'm you're blowing my mind
a scarf montage.
Yeah, a little compilation.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. That's fantastic. Wow. All right. Okay. I'm a little disappointed that we're not getting a Christmas movie, but still, that does sound interesting. And I do love Tony Todd, so the odds of us watching this are, like, weirdly good.
Yeah, they're pretty high.
They're pretty high. We watch Tony Todd movies. And we've been needing something to pair with the new Candyman, so there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Or maybe or, not.
Or I to guess kill we'll the taste out. To kill the taste of the new Candyman, no. Yes.
All right. So, let's get into it. We did watch movies this week. And now we're going to tell you about the first one, which, again, is technically a movie.
Yes.
Technically speaking, this is a movie. There mm-hmm. are moving images. There is audio. Mm-hmm. All right.
Our first movie tonight is called All Through the House. A killer Santa kills his way through the neighborhood while a woman and her friends hang out at a weird lady's house.
Yep.
I spent half the movie wondering what these two things had to do with each other, and then the other half of the movie
being pissed
how exactly this woman thinks that she can correct what she did to her child.
Well,
20 years later,
to be fair what? At the end of the movie she does reveal that she hadn't actually had no intention of doing that and was just making her child go on a murderous rampage so that she could, like, play the victim and get revenge on the town and, like, essentially have a way to get her, you know, who she wants to be her real daughter to spend time with her.
But she doesn't want revenge on the town.
No, she just
she wants
she
revenge,
wants revenge
on her neighbors.
Yeah, generally.
Like, and just one neighbor in particular.
One neighbor,
that's true,
yeah.
That's true.
Dead already.
Who's already dead. She's so got a lot of anger issues, I think it's fair to say.
Except when it comes to decorating, she
that's
has
true.
Got quite a flair. I don't think there was learn. A blade of grass that was unadorned.
You got to learn to edit yourself. I'm just saying. Know when to stop.
Yep.
Dial
know
it
when
back,
it's compulsion. It's not a hobby. It's a compulsion.
At a certain point, yes, that is 100% true. And this woman is well past that point.
When and even your microwave... When even your microwave has a wreath on it, it's time
you've
to
gone too far.
Pump the brakes.
Decorate the bathroom, all
I
of them.
Oh, it's weird. It's genuinely weird. And yeah, we don't really get a good
stay
sense.
Stay in the house way too long.
I know.
No,
like,
so
get,
just
yeah, like get in, like put up a couple of wreaths, leave. I don't know why you're hanging out here. Like
or
yes,
don't
or
just
don't
leave after she leaves. Yep. You no, never have like, to see this woman again.
But no, like the woman who, like the girl who's from next door, right, obviously feels sorry for this old lady and does offer to come and like have a drink with her later.
No, she, but like neither of,
well, no, no,
house.
No, no, but in addition to that, she, the woman talks about how like sad she is to be alone at Christmas, and she's like, I could come back, and like, and she's like, come, and I wish I had someone to hang out with, and she does offer to come back just to hang out with her after the decoration stuff is over. But, you know, that's just because she feels, she pities this woman.
Well, yeah. She is pitiful.
She's, oh, she is absolutely pathetic. Pitiable.
But at least 100%. We know more about her than we do the young girl, Rachel. Rachel, yeah. the lead in this.
I mean, we learn nothing about this woman at any point.
The lead's name is Rachel Kimmel.
Oh, wow.
That's so Jewish.
It's so unbelievably Jewish.
I don't understand why she is the lead in a Christmas horror movie.
Yeah.
And so celebrates weird. Christmas.
Yep. She has been fully secularized, I guess.
It's just a weird choice to make.
It is a strange choice. Yeah. Like, of all of the names you could have given this character.
Jewish woman named Rachel.
Right?
Just real weird.
Oh, totally. I get it. Oh, man. But it's, yeah, I'll say this. You have a unified theme on that villain. There is one thing right. This villain loves, and that is chopping dicks.
So
this villain cannot get enough. And like, when at the end of the movie, you're like, because like twice in this movie, the villain chops a dick.
Within like, the first 10 minutes.
Within the first 10 yeah. minutes. Right. And then at the end of the movie, you find out that the villain's been going around while they weren't on camera, just chopping dicks left and right, and has a yep. bag full of them.
That, and that's what I was saying. Like, I've always heard that colloquialism, you know, oh, suck a bag of dicks, or, yep. you know, I would.
And literally, here you have a bag of dicks.
A
and
literal this is
quite
one.
Literally.
Yeah.
Bag of dicks. Yes.
Like, I was not expecting that. It was jarring.
It reminds me of that vampire movie we watched that was full of penis.
Oh, God. Yes. About the gay vampire who couldn't stop eating dicks. Oh, God.
That was such a really good movie.
That was a very funny movie. Like, no complaints about that movie. But I see why this
amount of penis, and it was yeah. That so, it was funny in that case. This case is just weird.
Yeah, it's just given, weird and off-putting.
Given those two scenes, and then there was another scene with the two women, and he, for whatever random reason, picks up a vibrator
yeah.
that they have. I'm like, I wonder if the director just came across like a big box of marital aids and said, wait, let's try and sculpt the movie around this.
Around this giant
you know,
bag
I've got
of
a
fake
bunch
dicks we
of
have.
Prosthetic penises. So why not? Let's get some let's get some blood and
turn it into a movie. Honestly, yep. like that is not an unfair explanation for how this movie happens. Like, I could totally see that being the true story.
Like, great starting point.
Yeah.
But just where you ended up, I don't know.
It's a weird movie.
Yeah.
Although, surprisingly...
Because there are some good elements to it.
Oh, absolutely. Like, there are a couple of good elements, like the central mystery. Like, I kept waiting to find out what was going on with the missing daughter. Like the mysteriously right. disappeared daughter of yeah. the villain. Like that's right. that's an interesting thing, and it has a good payoff, you know? And the yep. weird part is like as excessive as all of the dick cutting is, it I mean, there is a narrative explanation for it that is completely satisfying.
But you have to wait too long because half Way the movie yeah. is just killer Santa killing.
Yeah.
And then half the movie is just these women hanging out in this weird house.
Yeah.
And like there's just so much time passes.
That is
nobody knows that there's a killer Santa on the loose. I think that's a bit of a problem for the movie and for the people in it.
Oh yeah.
Right.
And then it's like it's way too late in the day
when we finally get to the plot.
Exactly.
Yes. No, you're right. But I mean I will say at least they thought it through and at least it does have a satisfying resolution.
But it never is too late in the day for these characters to take a shower. There are more nocturnal showers.
Oh my god! I think my favorite scene in the movie
Some people
is
like to shower at night. Okay, jeez.
No. But it's fine to shower at night. But what's not fine is to walk into a shower, right? Walk into a bathroom where the light is on, and yeah. then turn the light off
to
and start taking
yeah.
a shower.
That
what was
weird.
She doing?
That, like, I don't know.
That's that bizarre, was really right? Strange. Okay. Yes. Also, really
also,
bad.
Also, who gets nude and then turns on the water?
Yeah,
no,
that's kind of
water first.
Too.
It takes time to warm up.
Oh, absolutely. I will say this though. Really, really unbelievable. That lady, unbelievably bad sexual partner.
Like, yeah.
Shockingly bad. He's like, let me see your breasts. And she's like, you can't see my breasts unless you're erect. I'm like, well, how's that supposed to happen if you can't see your naked breasts?
And way to put the pressure on the guy.
That's what they're
she
for.
She hates a flaccid dick. She made that very clear.
She does.
And has no interest in helping move things along.
I know. Like, lady, you were a bad sex partner. I'm just saying.
Not to mention a bad parent. I mean, wasn't the kid right in the other room?
Yes! Oh, yeah. And it's like, I'm not saying you deserve to get Santa murdered, but come on, lady.
Yeah.
Put in a little bit of work.
I'll give it points for the mask. That was a pretty good mask.
A creepy
that
mask.
Was a good mask. Yes.
And honestly, it's kind of funny that he goes around murdering people to chop dicks. And then one time he assumes he's got another couple because, you know, a lady's in the shower. And he doesn't know it's a lady in the shower, but somebody's in the shower and somebody's in the bed. And then so he kills and he finds out, oh, wait, it was two women. Damn it. So then he just steals a vibrator. Since
so then
there's
I'll
no
just pick
dick
up a
to
dick.
Chop.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny. I genuinely thought that was pretty funny. It's weirdly paced. As you say, it takes so long for the two halves of the movie to end up dovetailing that it's a problem. But it has a good ending, and it has a surprisingly heartwarming ending.
But it doesn't understand basic anatomy and biology.
No, it doesn't.
And that's a real problem for this movie. Because when you find out what happened to the little girl...
Yeah.
Yep.
It doesn't make sense.
Not really. Yeah.
And it just, not that I was, really engaged with this film to begin with, but it took me right out of the movie. I'm like,
I get
no,
it.
No, all that's, of the no's.
That's not how the things work.
Yeah.
You know things? That's not how they work.
That's not how they work. And you're a nurse. You should know this.
It did seem to be a little bit Christmas misogyny in there. So it's, you know.
Oh my god.
The women got it. Even though there was a bag of dicks, it seems like the women got it especially violent in this.
Oh god, yeah.
You know, well, like going through the breast, up through the mouth,
I
and
know.
That was
a rough one to watch.
Really was.
But then we also got a hilarious scene where someone in a wheelchair was pushed down a hill. And I'm like, is this a reference to
she went launching.
Yeah, just like went launched it right off a cliff.
Like Gremlins.
Yeah.
Well, no, I was going to say that, is it a reference to Mac and Me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a famous scene
from
Mac and
Me. How many of you have seen that?
I saw more Gremlins in that. The
no,
old
okay.
Mac.
I get it. Because it is not a kid getting thrown down off a cliff. You're right.
Very surprised if any movie anywhere
made a reference to Mac and Me. I guess unless it was actually made by Paul Rudd, that's probably never
going to happen. I was just
going
to say that. Yes.
All right.
But it did have references. And I mean, so it knew its lineage. You know, there were some Halloween nods. There was a Psycho there, obviously, with the showering. And Alone in the Dark, the one where the girl's in bed and gets stabbed up after the, you know, from the mattress there.
Oh, that made me really nervous because... Yeah. I think that it was just like, I'm just going to stab this thing up through the mattress and we're just going to make sure that your hand isn't in the way. It's like, oh my God, no, this is a live stunt. This is really stressing
It looked
me out
dangerous.
Right now.
You're absolutely
so
right.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
This might not be worth it, you know, for this movie. Oh God. All right. So you know what? Honestly, a lot less bad than I thought it was going to be based on
terrible.
The start and
the
production.
Bad.
Well, no, it's really bad, but just based on the production value, I thought I was in for a completely dire movie. But there's a bunch of funny stuff in it, and there's a bunch of fun stuff in it. But I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's possible to have a good time watching this movie.
No, it doesn't make sense because Santa comes and goes from that house. We've established the front door is locked shut in a manner that it cannot open.
I know. And how is Santa
out,
constantly?
And then suddenly Santa just walks through the
whenever
door.
Whenever he wants.
No!
I know. Yeah.
No, that can't happen.
Again, I'm not saying it's a good movie. I'm just saying there's fun stuff in the movie.
I don't know.
It's not as fun as a bag of dicks. I'm sorry.
No.
But what is really?
Really. Yeah, this is true.
All right. All right. Let's move on to an actual movie.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Our second movie tonight is The Advent Calendar. A woman receives an advent calendar as a gift, and things get weirder and scarier with each passing day.
Ooh.
Es ist Mitterrand.
I suppose I could have translated that into German. This is a French film with a lot of German in it.
Yep, which I liked.
It's Monkey's Paw. It's Monkey's Paw.
It is. It is a be careful what you wish sort force type of story.
Actually, Belgian, right? It's a Belgian movie.
Well, no, it's a French movie filmed in Belgium, which is near weirdly confusing. But it's like a French company that made a movie in French that's just filmed in Belgium.
No, I think Canal Plus just makes movies all over the
Saying Canal Plus is a French company.
No, I understand, but I think this is actually a Belgian film. Canal Plus helped finance what is
a Belgian film. Okay, then I completely misunderstood. But The Advent Calendar, the movie that is impossible to Google.
Right?
Do you want to make it unbelievably difficult for people to find your movie on Google? I've got a trick. Name it after an unbelievably common thing. Yeah. It's like naming your movie Grass Seed. You can't Google it.
The car.
But anyway.
So I thought actually this is a really good movie.
It is a really good movie.
Longer than it needs to be. This movie is probably about 20 to half an hour too long.
I wouldn't say half an hour. It's only an hour and 40 minute movie.
Okay.
So when you and I talked about it briefly the other night, I kind of thought, how are they going to handle 24 days of just bloodshed and carnage in this time? So I was actually kind of surprised that now they knock off 4 days when she takes a sleeping pill.
And it starts on the third.
And it starts on the third. Yeah. But
so that's there's 7 days. No amount you don't of Ambien
that can get you through.
Still
that.
A lot of days.
It's a lot of carnage.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they do, honestly, they do jump around a lot, but I think they do a pretty good job of showing you the progression and covering all of the days.
They do. Yeah. I just didn't. It again. The movie's longer than it needs to be.
Yeah. Maybe you could have started on the seventh instead of the.
Right.
Instead of the third or something like
that.
Like,
they're just ways around. They're just days where nothing happens, because some of those are pretty innocuous, those chocolates. Because so there are rules to the advent calendar. If you eat the first chocolate, you have to eat all the chocolates. You have to follow all the rules for the calendar.
Yeah.
Or something will happen.
He'll kill you. I mean, it's not something. It full on just says,
well,
I will kill
the movie,
you.
Like, she doesn't know what she's getting into.
Yeah.
And it is a weird advent calendar that her friend stole.
Yep.
Don't steal something like that and give it to your
And not only is it stolen, but I really wish, like, I think if it was stolen and we left it there, that would be sufficient creepiness.
Yeah.
But then you have it carved in the back, you know, if you dump this, you'll die. Or like, I wish they didn't reveal their hand that quickly in there. I would love a little bit more of a, well, where did this come from? And who, you know, that was kind of the, by being so, so straightforward with it, it left a little bit of the, you know, it kind of squelched a little of the mystery on it.
Yeah. And it's not like the, but part of the narrative is that 100%, like, you have to understand what the rules are before you agree to play, even if you didn't believe them, right? It has to tell you, and you have to know what the rules are. That is central to the narrative. And
she
it just does.
You don't know what the rules are. The rules are play, like.
No, but the rules are.
The rules
if you,
are follow
if you start
the rules or
playing,
die.
Well, yeah, but that is clear. And the rules are you have to open a door every day and you have to eat all the chocolates. Right. Or somebody has to eat all the chocolates. It doesn't actually
have to be
you. Who
wouldn't? It's an advent. Like, that's everyone knows how advent calendars work.
Well, yeah, but after the first couple of days, people are going to start dying because you eat chocolates and you might want to stop. And the calendar is saying you're not allowed to stop. Like, they're pretty responsible.
Everybody dies. No, the dying doesn't happen immediately, does it? Oh, no, maybe it does.
Pretty quickly. Like, the dying does not happen immediately, but it does happen pretty quickly. Like, that dog murders her boss pretty early. Okay, go.
Like, okay, so, like, her dog ate one of the chocolates and then killed her boss. If she had eaten that chocolate, would she have gone and killed her boss?
No, it was dog. It was dog safe chocolate that was for her dog. You got to remember, all of this is like set up.
But there was the Viagra chocolate.
Yeah, and that was for her friend.
That's clearly not intended for her, but the Avonkeller doesn't know that she's going to her. She's going with her friend to like her best her friend's boyfriend's cottage, and those two are going to have sex, and he's going to get an erection. He's going to fuck his girlfriend to death and then die. Like, the calendar can't know that.
Well, no, but the calendar does know that. The calendar knows everything. That's yeah. part of the point.
I don't know. Like, that was a bit much for me.
I get it. I get why you would find that
like
a bit
there much. Are chocolates that are clearly there for somebody else. I'm like, that doesn't... No. It's too much. And then you got, like, this weird, like, I don't know, Ramstein reject hanging around.
Yeah. Like, Ramstein reject? Wow.
Or Pyramid Head, whatever you want to call
him. Well,
no,
he definitely looks like a Silent Hill villain. A like Silent 100%. Villain. He really yeah. does. Yeah.
But I like the fact that there is just, there's a dreamy aesthetic to it.
Oh, yeah.
That yeah. that you're never clued in on, you know, they give us, they plant these little seeds by showing that she's had to take medication, daily medication for yeah. psychosis, for whatever. And we don't really know if it's necessarily these are figments of her imagination. Is it because she's not taking your medication, or is there some supernatural force that is?
And then we definitively find out that it is not in her head because right. a guy walks out of the water and drowns her boyfriend.
Oh, that
would
was
be
weird.
Boyfriend. That yeah.
Weird yep. moment.
Yep.
It's a very freaky moment when like the sky turns black and the water turns yeah. purple. And then just suddenly like, rushing through it.
Amazing. Damn.
Yeah. And like, you
that
know,
was great.
The reject pyramid head, he is like, that is some great design.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Is yeah. that thing gross to look at?
Yeah.
Well, and he's like advent calendar themed because he has all of the numbers carved into his body.
Oh, it's weird. Yeah. And he's like telling her to like eat the stuff. Ugh.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Yep. Well, that's his yep. job. His job is to make sure she plays.
I just feel like maybe you'd have an easier time getting more people on board if you weren't a horrifying nightmare creature.
I know.
Right? Yes.
Like, although, like to be fair.
Like a little baby penguin. It's like, eat your chocolate. It's okay, baby penguin. I really eat my chocolate.
He goes along with, he is representative of most of the other side characters in this. They are all nightmare people. Everyone in this is like some yeah. wretched
well,
version
Will.
Of humanity.
Will's fine. Like
Will's
nothing wrong
okay.
with Will. Will no,
okay.
Will's great. Come on.
Will's
he's,
okay.
He's a nurse and he's really wonderful with her.
Will's okay. And then the dude from the swimming pool turned out to be pretty okay too.
He turned out to be okay.
Well, no, yeah. because
And I
again,
loved his belly flop. That was very funny.
The belly flop was very funny.
It's hysterical. No,
the douche from the swimming pool, like, he does literally represent Satan in the movie. So he's like he seems like a nice guy, but don't forget that he literally represents Satan. Because at the end of the movie, he's the one tempting her to give up her soul. Like, and that's what's happening okay. at the end of that movie. So
you're giving up her soul.
Yeah.
That's it's like, do you want to continue to walk?
Not
or do you
want to
go
walk.
Back in time and everybody's alive who's now dead, but you're still in a wheelchair?
Exactly.
Oh, I forgot to mention, this whole thing is about the woman who receives the advent calendar is paraplegic. She's in a wheelchair, and as she eats these chocolates, she regains the ability to yeah. walk.
There are
and
three
the
baby
end,
Jesus chocolates, and if she eats all three of those, she will get to walk
she can,
again.
She can walk yeah. around and stuff. She was a professional dancer, and at the end of the movie, like she has this choice to make.
Yeah,
and it wasn't
we,
give up your soul. It well, was walk or not walk.
Well, no, but I'm again, I'm talking about like the metaphoric level. Like,
I'm talking
because,
about what's on screen.
The
yes,
biblical
and
biblical.
I'm talking about like the fact that the entire movie is a biblical allegory.
Goodness, not this again.
I love not this again, as if that's not painfully obvious that what it is. So just she, I told her about this before the thing, and she's like, "It's not a biblical allegory," and I'm like, "I'm not going to go through all of the evidence here, but yes,
look,
I'll put up a video."
You know, okay. Here's the thing. Most people watching this movie aren't going to get it because most people watch this movie aren't the son of a religious scholar.
I know. I know more about the Bible. That's why I'm making a video to educate people about this. And I'm not going to go into all of the evidence here, but yes, what like essentially the film is absolutely loaded with evidence. And again, watch my video over the Hidden Object Guru channel. It is absolutely loaded to the gills with evidence that this is all a test that God is giving her. And that is all I'll say about that for now. And it's like a test over whether she will keep her soul or not. It's a retelling of Job and Jesus's ordeal in the desert. So there you go. Anyway.
I thoroughly enjoyed that. What was her name? Ava?
Ava. Yeah, Ava.
The fact that she was not a completely sympathetic character, even though she was wheelchair bound, and even though we do feel obviously a level of sympathy for her there, she still, you know, she had her mean streak as well too.
Yeah,
so
yeah, she did. And no, she's a fully well-rounded person. I really loved the character, really loved her performance. Like, I thought she was great in this movie.
Yeah, like, she really was.
Yeah, like, it's such, like, the way she plays, and again, the horror of this situation. I mean, that scene where, the human stuff in the situation, too. Like, aside from the horror stuff, that scene where she goes to visit her dad.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was really upsetting.
That was so hard to watch.
Yeah.
Really is.
So beautifully acted, so well done. No, yeah. I loved that scene so much. And she's great. And, oh, by the way, here's the funny numerology, right? On day, it's not even numerology, it's just a cute little thing they do. On day 14, she goes to see her dad, and as she's walking up, we learn that her dad's house is number 14. And then later on,
I noticed that.
Nice.
And then on day 17, when she's walking into her, when Will is walking into her house, we see that her house is number 17. So they're doing all of these cute little things if you're paying attention.
That's great.
Yeah. Oh no. It's a film the absolutely packed with like little cute details like that. I was so happy because it is really a film that rewards paying attention. But even on a surface level, if you just interpret it as a Wishmaster monkey's paw, be careful what you wish style kind of movie, it's an incredibly good one.
No, it's a great movie. It looks good.
Oh, it looks fantastic.
And that, nice change for us.
That was the other thing that we had mentioned, too, is that it is so refreshing to see someone who understands and values lighting in a movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yes.
Lighting was so well done in this. So it helped effectively set the mood.
And I especially loved, and I know this is such a minor scene, but it's like the moment I knew that this film was going to, as you say, take lighting seriously and believe in atmosphere, was right at the start when she gets home and she's getting into the bed and they do that like PTSD flashback freak out of the car accident and like going to like the gradually building light and noise and raucous, and then it immediately smashes you back to near complete darkness. Like, wow, this guy knows what he's doing visually. Like, fundamentally, they really thought this through. And it's a writer-director, I think.
Yes.
Like, okay, it is a writer-director. Okay, so it's like, obviously, this is someone who had a real vision for this movie, and wow, did they pull it off.
Definitely.
I see what you mean about being a lull with a few too many days in the advent calendar, right in the middle, but it's like, it's about an advent calendar. It's really hard to get around that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do.
Talk to the Catholics about that one if you want.
Right? We couldn't have themed this around the 12 days of Christmas, guys.
Right.
That would have been a little easier. Oh, God. But yeah, it's a really intense movie. It's got a bunch of really good scary scenes. Like, it's just, it looks great. Beautifully acted.
Humor about it.
It really does have a good sense of humor. Like, it's legitimately very funny at times. And again, fantastic performance by the lead. You never for a second doubt that she's paraplegic. Like, she does that acting so really well. And then to see her, and I don't know if it's her or a double doing the dancing at the end, but it's such a great transition from watching her spend the whole movie in the wheelchair. And then suddenly she's able to, like, and then when she starts walking, she's a little hesitant in the walk, and then she's running, and then she's finally able to dance again. Like, it's such a wonderful arc for her character. And using...
Eugenie Derouand.
Okay. But yeah, like, fantastic performance. And again, using the fact that she's paraplegic to give us the character arc in the way she moves is just such... Because she never talks about Like, she mentions the dancing a couple of times, but it's like, she doesn't sit there talking about how much she misses her legs and blah, 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 like she might in an American movie. No, like, they trust the audience to just get...
Put it together.
Yeah, to put it together how meaningful this is for her, right? By, like, having everyone criticize her in the wheelchair, and then when she's finally free of it, you know, well, things get really dark, obviously, but there's a joy that comes at the same time for her as things are getting unbelievably dark in the movie. So it's complex. It's really interesting. There's just a ton going on in this movie.
Yeah.
I was really happy with it.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. I love the performances. Like I said, I love the stylistic choices that he made there. I just thought, you know, he was very effective at building suspense. Daryl Nard's performance, I keep going back to the one scene where she was in the van with her boyfriend or with her girlfriend's boyfriend and her then getting, you know, sexually assaulted by him. Oh. And she just looks at him saying, "Hey, awful. You idiot." You know,
feel anything.
Not only was she didn't feel like yes, she was a victim, but her rage kind of superseded that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, she has spent so much time advocating for herself. She doesn't hesitate at all to stand up for herself, even in this awful, vulnerable situation, which ends with her getting, like, literally tossed on the side of the road.
Ditched to the curb.
By a scumbag banker.
He gets what's coming to him.
Oh, he absolutely, in a very funny scene. And, like, the most funny death in the entire thing is him getting what's coming to him. Mm. Yeah, it's a good wrap-up to that scene, but it's like... The brutality leading up to that comedy shows that this, you know, writer-director really does get how to use these tonal shifts to the best effect.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so really impressed with this one. I hope the director goes on to do other things, because I'd be very interested to see, like, if they have any other interesting ideas that could be as good as this one. Because I really love this movie.
Plus, it's in French, so you already feel superior by watching it.
I feel smarter right away.
My last question, Belgian movie, was Calavera, and it's one of the worst films I've ever seen in my entire life. Okay. So
this has redeemed the entire country of Belgium in your eyes, hopefully. Calavera is a real trash fire. I'm not going to disagree with you on that front. Right. Oh my God. So yeah, really solid movie. I think we have a new contender for truly top of the line Christmas horror movie.
Absolutely.
It's pretty good. I don't know if it's up there with something like Rare Exports.
No. But near the top with Rare Exports and Krampus. I don't think it's gonna be like, I don't think it is the absolute best, but it's like, if we were making a top 10 all time Christmas horror, I kind of feel like this should be on it. I might have to watch it a couple more times just to be sure, but I loved it. As I was watching
I'd put it on there just because I want people to see it. This is what good filmmaking looks like.
Oh, yeah.
And it felt like it embraced its true nature of having that advent calendar play such a large role. It wasn't just set on the holiday just so they could hang up a bunch of, you know, eyeless Santa mannequins around the house or something.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Although... it really uses the whole idea of Advent and the whole a miracle happening on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Is the core of the whole movie. Yep. It is about Christmas, and it's not just using the Christmas trappings, it is about Christmas as well. So yeah, just a great movie all around, and a kind of horror movie that I would recommend to everyone. The thing is, it's pretty gross. I'm not gonna say it's not pretty gross. Like, if you can't take gore. Okay, you probably shouldn't watch this one, but generally, I think that even though it is pretty damn gory, it's very, it's not gratuitous? Does that make sense?
No, it does, because it makes sense with the narrative. I think because these people who get their comeuppance are so despicable, and they are just the dumpster fire of the human civilization. That there does feel like everything is justified. Like, I don't care if this guy gets chewed up by a dog in a toy car. I want to see that happen.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because he's so despicable.
Well, I think what really got me was the moment when you're like, I guess we probably should have done spoiler warnings at the start of this, huh? Oh, well. You should still watch the movie. But it's like that moment where, like, she is so far gone and she opens a door and there's a voodoo doll inside. And there's not even, like, a specific, in like, when she had to... Okay, I'll leave a spoiler in here. When she had to do something to her best friend, in that scene, there was, like, a specific direction given her to her to do it. Right? Yep. And so you understand that it is what the game is at, the game, the box, whatever, is asking her to do. But when she gets the voodoo doll, there's no, like, specific instruction with the voodoo doll.
And no hesitation.
And but she doesn't hesitate at all. She just knows what the box probably wants her to do, and she just does it even without being told. And again, it's how they're using... There's so little dialogue in this movie. They're just using her actions and the way she's changing as a character to tell the story.
Yep.
Yeah, such a... I mean, it's just... This one just blew me away. I'm going to stop, you know, gushing over every scene in this movie.
Oh, well, definitely.
Yeah, but it's
definitely
like
worth it.
There's a reason I'm doing it, and it's because so much of this movie is so good. All right,
and it's on Shudder. We should say too.
Oh, yeah, you can watch it right now. It's on Shudder. Yeah. It's actually one of those movies that Shudder like bought the distribution. It's not like they just did leased it or something. They participated in buying the distribution rights, so they're like the official distributor of this movie.
Yep.
In various regions. So yeah. Like you are going to be able to watch this at Shudder, presumably for the foreseeable. So that's pretty awesome that a movie that is this good is so watchable for everybody, even though it's in French.
Yep.
And by the way, there's no dubbed version.
Okay, good. Yeah. I hope not. Yeah, there's no need to.
No, there isn't. But I was very worried because when I clicked on it in Shudder, it said language English, and I'm like, pretty sure. And I was worried that there was going to be like a forced dub or something, but no, they just meant it only had English subtitles.
Well, like you said, there's not a ton of dialogue, so I think even the most, you know, reticent
viewer about subtitles.
Yeah,
you're right. Like, so much of it is clearly stated just through the visuals.
Yeah,
and just through her performance as Eva. So yeah, just an amazing film. Loved it. Now,
good stuff.
Before we move on, do we have any narcissism to watch?
Nope.
I am going to be covering films from Sundance for Film Threat. So later in the month, I will start posting several of the various Sundance screened films. So look for that on Film Threat.
Okay. That sounds like a blast and a half.
Yes.
Is there any other? And of course, for me, drop by the Hidden Object Guru channel if you want to find out what's going on in this movie. Like what the subtext level and who the villain is. I've got a video going up.
DM, we're too slim-witted to
to not have read the Bible many, many times to immediately click into this stuff.
Too Jewish to see what's exactly going on.
Well, actually, to be fair, most of it is Old Testament stuff, so that does not let you off the hook.
Don't even start that shit with me. Don't start.
I'm just saying, it's mostly Torah stuff. All right.
My God, don't. Get that word out your mouth. Don't. Just don't.
She doesn't like people studying her faith, and that's fine.
Not what I'm driving at all.
All right. Is there any other way to get in touch with us?
You can visit the Ava's blog at theava.com. You can stream all the episodes there. You can leave us a comment and tell us what you think the advent calendar is about. You can send us an email, theava@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. If you're listening on an app, rate, review, subscribe.
All right. I'm going to encourage you to do all of those things. So until next time, I've been Count Vargelon.
I've been DM.
And I am the elf who refused to be shelved.
The best elf. Thanks for watching and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.